This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Couple of days removed from the 2025 NFL Draft, and we'll look back with Ray Fittipaldo now, our Steelers insider. Can also maybe look ahead to next year when everyone's going to have the Steelers selecting a quarterback. Ray is brought to us by LGKG, the born and raised Western PA injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Ray, good morning to you. You're not on the video stream because you are without power. How long have you been without power, man?
Since about 5 o'clock last night. I was out driving in it when it happened, and all the roads were closed. Took me a while to get home, but I actually hear it's going to be like a couple days. I don't even think we're going to get power back today.
Oh, my God. And then I hear that there's going to be big storms tomorrow, perhaps, Ray. So that can't be good.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Where do you live, Ray?
I'm in the West Allegheny School District.
I meant your address. Ray, your thoughts on what the Steelers did in the draft, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I thought they stuck to their plan. You know, Omar and Andy's theme for their first three drafts has been building through the trenches, and you know, we talked about it a lot throughout the spring, guys. You know, a lot of national people were mocking quarterbacks to them, but if you paid attention to the clues, you kind of knew what direction they were going to go. So I love the fact that they got Harmon in the first round. We all kind of predicted they would double down. I like the Black pick in the fifth round. I think he's going to help too. So I think they've, you know, they put some of those D linemen on notice. I think there's going to be great competition in training camp, and I think everything is pointing, of course, to next year. You know, you build now, you build up the roster, and next year you go get your quarterback.
Ray, DK Metcalf, George Pickens, Calvin Austin III, Robert Woods, who they just signed yesterday, 1 year, $2 million deal, Ben Skowronek. Where does Roman Wilson fit in this wide receiver room? Do you think they'd be quick to give up on him if he doesn't compete and perform in training camp?
You know, I was thinking about that last night after that signing was announced. I still think there's an opportunity for Roman Wilson, but, you know, he's got to go out there and prove it. You know, Woods is signed basically a little bit more than a vet minimum deal, so that's kind of like a Van Jefferson, Allen Robinson type of signing. It's he's probably going to play, but I don't know if that's going to guarantee him starter snaps or, you know, anything like that. So I still think the slot is going to be, you know, whoever performs best in training camp. I know a lot of people were sleeping on Calvin Austin, but guys, he had 548 receiving yards. He had a few touchdowns. I mean, he was on the come last year. So I think it's Roman Wilson and Woods are going to have to beat him out for that number three spot.
What do you think about Caleb Johnson and his usage this year? I mean, my educated guess would be that Jaylen Warren is the guy to start. How do you see it going down?
Yeah, I would think that would be the case as well. But, you know, Caleb Johnson is built for Arthur Smith's offense. He ran that outside zone at Iowa. That's what Arthur wants to run here. You know, he kind of got away from that a little bit last year just because the pieces really didn't fit. But, you know, Johnson, for running a 4.57, I'm sure you guys have seen some of the highlights. He looks like he moves faster than 4.57, and Mike was talking about that on Friday. You know, there's time speed at the combine, and then there's game speed, and it just seems like Caleb Johnson is a game speed type of a guy. So I can very easily see those guys doing a 50-50 split, you know, with the carries, and Caleb Johnson maybe not being the starter, but certainly having a big role.
Ray, did you like or dislike the Jack Sawyer draft pick?
I was a little bit surprised because you don't really see a big need for an outside linebacker, but Doran, it just seems like he's a really good culture fit for them. And, you know, I don't know how he's going to fit in. I mean, a number four, you're going to get maybe 15 snaps a game. But I think you're building for the future now because, you know, I have every expectation that TJ is going to sign a new contract. But, you know, he's going to be 31 years old. Highsmith is going to be 28 this year. So I think this is a draft pick where you look maybe 2 years down the road. Watt's still probably going to be here. Is he the guy who maybe takes over for Highsmith? What do you do with Herbig? I think Herbig is certainly someone they're going to want to hang on to as well. So, you know, he's going to be a special teamer, and he's going to be a backup for a year or two. But I certainly think that guy has a chance to maybe be a starter in a couple of years. I mean, they got him in the fourth round, and he was Daniel Jeremiah's 70th overall prospect. That's like an early third-round pick, so I think there's starter potential there with Jack Sawyer.
Yeah, it was Dane Brugler's 58th overall pick. We are joined right now by Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. All right, now on the defensive line, you've got Benton, you've got Harmon, you've got Black, you've obviously got Cam. How do you think they'll divvy up the snaps there? I mean, I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world to be able to give Hayward a breath every now and again.
Yeah.
And last year when he was off the field, Ray, there was a stark difference between the with the rushing yards they gave up.
Yeah, I was surprised that Carl Dunbar said they're going to keep Keanu Benton at nose. Now, that can change, but, you know, Black is 335 pounds. He's known for being a run stopper, but, you know, they said they're going to use him at four technique and have him push the pocket. So we'll see how that plays out. But Harmon is going to be a part of the rotation early. You know that. I think Black is going to be given every opportunity to get into the rotation as well. And then, you know, you got Liao, you got Loudermilk, you got Logan Lee, you got all these guys who are unproven, who haven't really done anything yet. And those guys are going to be competing, you know, for the final couple of spots on the 53-man roster. You know, Daniel Ikwale, the free agent pickup from them, is going to be that they're going to be more married to like maybe a seven-man rotation this year, maybe even eight if they keep eight defensive linemen. I think you're right, Adam, with Cam getting up there in years. You know, you throw numbers at it this offseason, you see who plays well, and then you go from there.
Ray, Mike Sullivan of the Pittsburgh Steelers was released of his duties. Well, it was, I guess, found out that he is no longer with the team on the same day that Mike Sullivan of the Penguins was parted ways with his team. Do you think that the Steelers will fill that role, or was that just a special role to keep Mike Sullivan, Pittsburgh Steelers Mike Sullivan, around?
Yeah, so when they hired Arthur Smith, Mike Sullivan had a year remaining on his contract. So they were going to honor the final year of his contract. He was given the title of senior offensive assistant. He was actually in charge last year, guys. I don't know if you know this. He was in charge of yards after the catch. He was their yak coach. So unless they have designs on hiring a yak coach, I don't think they're going to.
We still have you, Ray? Sorry.
I'm still here. You guys
okay,
got
yeah.
me?
Yak coach. Unbelievable. All right, last thing here for you, Ray. Well, sort of. Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers, still not a Pittsburgh Steeler. If Rodgers is a Steeler, I think it's going to be, obviously, Rodgers, Rudolph, Howard. Let's say there's no Rodgers, it'll be Rudolph, Howard, right? I mean, how do you see this playing out in both of those different scenarios, and how much work can they get, Mr. Howard?
Yeah, I think Howard's going to be the number three no matter what. I don't think they want to press him into duties as a backup as a rookie. So, you know, there's a few free agents out there. I'll tell you the one guy I don't want. I don't want to go down the road of Kirk Cousins.
No.
He had a bad year last year. It looked like he was pretty much done, and I don't want to roll the dice on him. But, listen, there's other guys. You can go out, be Mason's backup and have Howard be the number three. I would think that would be the direction to go. I know there's all this chatter about Kirk Cousins, but I don't think they're going to go down that road.
Ray, do you think it's going to be Rodgers?
I do. I cannot give you a timeline, guys. You know, OTAs is still 3 or 4 weeks away. We'll see what happens before then. But even if it happens after OTAs and minicamp. I think they would be okay with that. This guy is a four-time NFL MVP. Let's face it, if he wants the playbook, he probably has the playbook already. Probably has a good idea of what they're going to do. So I do think that in time, if everything works out with his personal life, yes, Aaron Rodgers will be the Steelers quarterback in 2025.
Thank you, Ray. Enjoy your own personal 48-hour darkness retreat.
See you, guys.
See you, Ray. Buddy.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. A yak coach.
Yak coach. I don't even know what you'd do with that.
Hey, break tackles and run fast.
Yeah. Catch the ball. Run.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I may well be. I'm wrong an awful lot. I mean, isn't a lot of yards after contact stuff instinct?
Yeah.
Talent-based?
Yeah. Feel.
Feel.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's more player than anything.
Yak coach. I'm not one to criticize them for having more coaches. Like, more is better. More eyes is better. But that's how they were utilizing him? As a yards after contact coach?
He was just basically around.
I did not know that.
Right. I thought it was what we talked about yesterday, helping Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Game plan. Yak coach.
Van Jefferson, run faster.
Hey, listen, I'll be a yak coach for 80K.
You stole my joke.
What?
I think you could yak and be a host of a morning show.
Yes.
Like, I don't feel like that's a full-time job. That's why he's not here anymore.
Mm-mm. I'd leave here around, 10, get down to practice, watch individual drill, watch 7-on-7, say, like, you need more yak.
Like, I just imagine him watching the film with Calvin Austin. You know what you should have done here, Calvin, is break that tackle.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yes, our yak numbers are down.
Also, the yak, a beautiful, majestic animal that is terribly underrated. The yak is also known as the Tartary ox, the grunting ox, or the hairy cattle.
Mm.
I think yaks are big time underrated. People look at a yak, they think it's a buffalo. No. A yak's its own thing.
Mm.
Texture. Yak is yards after catch. Yes, thank you. Appreciate that. We know. Yards after catch, yards after contact. You can have. I've heard it both ways.
Yeah. I say yards after catch, but
yeah, unless he's going yards after contact, and he's also yelling at Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris to break more tackles.
Right.
You needed to wiggle here. Take it to the outside. There. That's bizarre to me. You didn't know that, did you?
Nope.
I didn't know that either.
Nope.
Well, I mean,
I didn't know it was even a thing.
I would imagine there's not another yards after contact coach in the NFL.
No.
Not one.
Mm-mm.
Again, more is better. Yards after contact coach. Yards after catch coach. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can also text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up next, we'll react to what Ray had to say. A lot of interesting nuggets there from our guy. So Mike Sullivan no longer with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ray Fittipaldo told us in the last segment that Mike Sullivan's role with the team last year was to be the yards after catch coach, which I didn't know existed.
I didn't either.
And you would do it for 80K.
I would.
They would save some money there. So Mike Sullivan had a year left on his deal, and they didn't want to not pay him, or pay him, I should say, not to work. Here's a texter at 412-928-9370. According to Google, not one NFL team has a yards after catch coach with that as their formal title.
Yeah.
You think they have a tackle for loss coach?
No.
A little TFL coach, Doran?
No. Maybe.
What about a pancake coach?
No.
Knock a defensive lineman on their ass. Here's how you do it. And I'm only focused on that. They could have a pressure rate coach, expected completion percentage coach. I mean, they need help. They need more bodies. They have one of the smallest coaching staffs in the NFL, unless you ask Art Rooney II. He takes great offense to that. That's just a fact. One of the smallest coaching staffs in the NFL. And last year, they had more than they usually have, and they assigned the duties to Mike Sullivan. Make sure that these guys can run after they catch the football. I'm going to have to look up where they stood in the NFL in yards after catch. I'm guessing it was okay.
It was okay.
They threw a lot of deep balls down the sidelines.
I mean, George probably was like 85% of it.
Yeah, that's true. I say that they had a ton of yards after catch. I think Calvin Austin's was pretty good. In 2024, the Ravens led the league with the most yards after catch with 13.2. I'll have it here in a second for the people. They were 11th in the NFL. Steelers. Yards after catch, 11.2. Just behind the Eagles, Chargers, and Falcons. Just ahead of the Rams, Texans, Buccaneers, and Saints. Hey, Mike Sullivan, you did a good job.
Did a decent job, yep.
Most of the statistics offensively for the Steelers, they're in the lower third of the league, but yards after catch, Doran. 11, that's upper third. That's top 33%.
They'll be better this year without him.
Because they have DK Metcalf.
Yep.
And you don't need to tell that guy what to do. Like, imagine, I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around this. DK, break that tackle, run real fast.
Yeah, I think that he had multiple roles, but that was one of them, probably tracking. So if we're being serious right now, it'd probably be, hey, Art, these are the plays that work where we can get yards after catch. These are the routes and combinations that we need to run that gets the receiver going, moving, and whenever they catch it, they have a chance to make yards after the throw. So the slants, anything on the post routes, the short posts, things of that nature, like we are hitting on those and we're getting X amount of yards after this. Let's keep that in the game plan moving forward, or maybe alter it a little.
So more specifically, play designs.
Yes.
Like you go through, you comb through the data. Here are plays that we run that we feel like can become explosive yards after catch kind of plays.
Yes, like comebacks. Like we're gonna throw that away because we know that they're just gonna catch the ball and go out of bounds. We're not getting any of that extra yardage that we're looking for. So let's get our receivers on the move, and they'll have a chance to get the yards after catch. And these are the ones that work. These are the ones that don't work. This is the percentage. Bang, 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 and we move forward with it.
That makes some sense.
Week by week.
In all seriousness. And then you have him in the quarterback room, I would guess, watching film and dissecting it with the guys.
And then you go and you watch like the opponent's defense and say, oh, well, this is how they exploit yards after. This is where they're exploited whenever you get yards after catch. Oh, we're going to put this route in that team Y did against them.
Yeah, a little clear out here, yeah. Bang, backside this, whatever, football terms.
I guess, but it's not that hard. I just literally did it for you.
How about hang time, coach?
For the punter?
For the punter, yeah.
And Danny Smith.
Danny Smith is all over that. He's got 47 pieces of gum. Now his son is on the coaching staff. Did you see that?
No.
I like Danny.
So is Eddie Faulkner's son.
Really?
Rookie minicamp. Running back.
A player who was signed. And then they got the Bruner kid. Who they drafted later.
I don't know if Faulkner's son was signed. I think he's just doing a tryout.
Meanwhile, Dino Tomlin is in Tampa camp for rookie camp. Steelers do love their nepotism. I like Danny Smith too much to criticize him for his son. I like that guy. But they sure as hell have an MO to the Steelers. Ray also told us that no matter what, Will Howard will be the third quarterback this year. And that made it sound like even if Rodgers doesn't come here, he'd be the third quarterback. Where they would go with two vets?
Well, and Skylar Thompson would have to be the... Well, unless they sign somebody. For now. Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. If they signed somebody else that was a vet, yeah, Will Howard would be the third. But if it was just Skylar Thompson, I think that they would compete for the backup job.
If Rodgers does not come, and they believe he's going to come, and so do all the beat writers, not that anybody is hitting 1,000 on this or anybody can get inside of Aaron Rodgers' head, but let's say Rodgers doesn't come here. Just roll with Mason Rudolph and then let Will Howard be the two. And then Will gets a lot of reps. He would get first team reps. They'd give Rudolph a day off here and there. Maybe Wednesdays off like Ben. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't get the Ben treatment. But that would make all the sense in the world to me. The thing that makes no sense at all is Kirk Cousins, who Ray brought up. Like that, you strike out on Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to look good. I don't want to watch it. But I'm not. I would rather watch Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, my God, then Kirk Cousins and Mason Rudolph.
Yes.
Kirk Cousins is washed. And even when he was good, he would come up small in big moments. Maybe that makes him a perfect fit for the Steelers. All right, coming up next, we switch gears briefly with our good friend John Wehner. The Rock. Do you smell what The Rock is cooking? The Pirates all of a sudden have lost 3 in a row. They are 11-19, the third worst record in all of Major League Baseball. Can he see the forest through the trees here? Is there light at the end of the tunnel? We'll get to that with Rock coming up next. John Wehner joins us now, one of our favorite dudes. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And he is in beautiful West by God, Virginia, as I understand it. And you're good with the weather and all that, Rock?
Yeah, I mean, we had the same storm, I think, up there, but I mean, we got power. I mean, I hear there's no power up there. I mean, we're good in that regard. I don't see any, you know, cars floating down the street or anything, and I got lights, so I'm good.
That is good. I mean, I know West Virginia went through some terrible flooding a couple of years ago, so that is good. Yeah, we had Ray Fittipaldo on earlier. He's going to be without power for days, perhaps, and then a big storm to follow tomorrow. 218,000 people, John, without power.
Really? I'm missing all this. That sucks. That's terrible. There's nothing worse than, you know, not having power or, you know, stuff like that. I mean, we take for granted all the great things we have in our lives, and it would really, I mean, AC, heat, whatever it is,
food,
you need,
refrigerator,
TV, food, refrigerator, all that stuff. Yeah, that sucks. I had no idea that. I'm like in Clarksburg, so I didn't know how bad it was up there.
Well, the Cubs have power and the Pirates do not. There's the obvious line there. I mean, the Cubs hit three homers last night. Colin Holderman, he improved. He gave up a homer on his third pitch instead of the second pitch this time. John, they're 11-19, third worst record in Major League Baseball. If they needed to change one thing to get back on the right track here, what do you think that would need to be?
Oh, I'd love to say it was just one thing.
Right.
I mean, if you could sit there and say, "Whoa, hit for more power," that would be one thing, because power is kind of king right now in baseball. You know, the lineup just has been inconsistent, and lately the starting staff has been a bit inconsistent. And you know, I think you can cover up some things if you're hitting the ball at the ballpark and you're scoring runs. You know, then the pitchers don't have to be as fine and worry about things. But, you know, there's been times, like, for instance, Heaney last night. Heaney's been incredible.
Yes.
And he was incredible last night through 3 2/3. You know, before the fourth inning last night, I think he's given up runs in three innings all year long. One swing was a grand slam, and then, you know, two single runs. So he's been great. Unfortunately, a lot of these guys are going out there pitching, and they just don't have any breathing room. There's just not, you know, many leads out there. It's like, it'd be nice if the offense would break out, get up 2-3-4-0 early, and, you know, allow these guys to go out and pitch. But you know, I'm afraid that's kind of where we are offensively. I mean, it's just been a grind. There's times where a couple guys get hot and then you score some runs, but we need more guys swinging the bat better. You know, McCutchen's hot, Cruz is hot. It'd be nice to get Reynolds going again right now. You know, on the road, we had the bottom three were swinging the bat well. But, you know, I think we just need a little more consistency offensively, which will support the staff.
John, it's been said that the Tommy Pham signing was more of a clubhouse and locker room signing, a guy that is, you know, going to keep things in line. Is it? Do you need that in Major League Baseball? Do you need a guy that's a no-nonsense guy on your team that can keep guys in line? Or can you just go out there and just kind of handle your own business? Because it seems like the Tommy Pham thing is just, you know, they're trotting him out there every single day. But it's like, oh, well, he's a locker room guy because you kind of need him. I don't know how true that is, and I'd like to ask you that question.
I guess need would be a strong word. Are they useful? Yeah, I think it's useful to have guys that, you know, can add a little push or hold people accountable. Or, I mean, you'll need people in there screaming and yelling at everybody. But, I mean, it normally when you have a pretty good team, you're a pretty good team. And so everybody's having a good old time and you go out there and play. And, you know, that's where you talk about clubhouse chemistry. Everybody's happy because you're good and you're winning games. And, you know, who's going to be miserable when you're winning games? You know, when you're struggling, that's where it's usually a miserable clubhouse. Now, do you need a guy that's, you know, holding everybody accountable or barking or whatever? It's hard to say. I just know that he's been a good player for a very long time, and I know he hates to lose. I like having guys on my team that hate to lose. I'd much rather, you know, you know, have guys with their heads down after a loss than throwing a party. And you have that sometimes. But I also like guys in the room that, if you're not running out ground balls or if you're not playing the game the right way, or, you know, if winning isn't important, you address that. So there, I do think there is a need to have that kind of guy in there that's going to make sure you're going about your business the right way. Would I rather have Kyle Tucker? Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talent wins at the end of the day. And so, yeah, I think there's a place for that leadership, but, you know, talent is going to prevail all day for me.
We're joined by John Wehner, The Rock, here on the Fan Morning Show. Turning this in a positive direction because things seem not great right now. They've lost three in a row again, 11-19. O'Neal Cruz at the dish is looking the part of a superstar. Had a great running catch last night in center field. What are you seeing from O'Neal at the plate? I mean, he looks like he's finally going to have that 30-30 season we've been talking about.
I hope so. I mean, he should. I mean, this kid's so talented, and as long as he stays healthy, you can just tell hitters go through ups and downs. It's a streaky time, and sometimes you see the ball so good, and you feel like you have so much time to where, you know, you're not going to chase. You're waiting for a good pitch to hit, and when you get it, you don't miss it. That's where O'Neal Cruz was on that road trip. It was just a joy to watch, and because of his talent, you know, he's going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. He's going to steal more bases. And then there's other times where the ball is on you quick. And it kind of looks like what Brian Reynolds is going through a little bit. And hitting looks so hard. You just try to ride those good times when you're seeing the ball good and you hope it lasts. And you can stretch it out as long as you could and as long as you can. And when you're struggling, you just hope to shorten that slump. So, but yeah, he's an all-star talent for sure. It's just a matter of him being consistent, you know, and like he is right now. I mean, you're not going to stay hot for 6 months, but you just hope that you can, you know, with this experience and with the way he's swinging the bat right now, that, you know, it kind of takes him off because he could be a 40-40 guy.
Yes.
With that speed and with that power. It's just a matter of him, for one, staying healthy and him staying locked in as long as possible. And I do believe the more he sees action in the outfield, the better he'll be. Obviously, he had a rough month of April defensively, especially the first couple of weeks. But I think the more action he sees, the more he experiences out there, the better he will become. Because, again, the talent, the speed will help him make plays like he did last night.
John, this was great. Continue your plush living down there in West Virginia, pal.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad. It's unfortunate. You know, if anybody you'd think that didn't have power, it'd be West Virginia, but we're still good.
All right. Thank you, John. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good day.
You too. John Wehner. He's the man. Reynolds' slow starts drive me nuts.
Yeah.
I know exactly what he's going to be at the end of the year. We all do. His numbers are always the same. He's going to get hot when they're 20 and 40. What good does that do then?
I know, right?
I mean, they had been getting pretty solid starting pitching, and the bullpen had finally started rounding into form, and this guy can't buy a hit, and I know he's been banged up. I can't give him that excuse because now he's been in the outfield. And also before that, they still thought he was healthy enough to hit. And this isn't a one-year thing. He's like Adam LaRoche.
Yeah.
Every year he starts the season slow, and they've gotten off to hot starts the last couple of years. This year it's the opposite, but he's still the same. A couple of big hits now and again, and they're probably not a great baseball team, but their head might be close to above water, and it's not. And you're paying this guy $100 million. He's going to have a nice season. The numbers are going to look good at the end of the day, but where are you when we need you? You're not here. You're not hitting. Also, a texter brings up a really good point about accountability that I think we need to spend a little more time on.
Sure.
We'll do that coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Doug Whaley going to join us for a full hour. We'll go over the Steelers draft, plans for particular players that they drafted, the hell's going on with Aaron Rodgers, and, oh, yes, so much more. But we just talked to John Wehner, and, Doran, you asked a really good question about clubhouse leadership and the role that Tommy Pham currently occupies on this team. He's hitting 177. He is a worse player through this point in the season than Rowdy Tellez was last year, which is insane. But he's got that leadership. He can keep guys accountable. And a texter brings up a really good point. When you have a manager that doesn't hold people accountable, you probably need a guy like that.
Great point. Fantastic point.
That's an award-winning text right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Tito Francona's up in here, you think they're making as many outs at third base?
Nope.
You think they're sending as many guys home as they've sent? You think they're doing as much stupid stuff in the field? I don't think so. And at times, Tito could be pretty lax. And the whole thing in Boston was guys were drinking beers in the clubhouse. But you go back and you watch that 04 Red Sox-Yankees series documentary, they were ripping shots before the game. I mean, it helped them stay loose. They were dubbed the idiots.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he would also probably put his foot down when need be. Like I think when you bring a guy in like this, to the texter's point, it does speak to the overall culture lacking. And okay, great, Tommy Pham can get up in someone's face and say, hey, you need to run harder, or hey, you need to make this fundamental play. It's pretty easy to turn around and say, okay, buddy, but you're hitting 177.
Yeah.
You need the manager to swing it around a little bit. And I just don't think he's that kind of guy. And they clearly don't have the talent, and that's why I've said Ben Cherington is a bigger issue than Shelton, but it's a bad clubhouse culture. They might all get along. Paul Skene says that doesn't matter.
No.
Because it doesn't.
It doesn't produce wins.
Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds didn't like each other, and the Giants went to the World Series because Bonds hit 70 home runs. That's an extreme example, but I'm not sure Bonds and Leland really liked each other at the end. Doesn't matter.
No.
Are you good or are you not good? And you're willfully playing a guy every day who's not good at the expense of someone like Matt Gorski, who may well not be good, but I'd like to find out. It's just bad, man. It's just bad. And I thought that was a really good question you asked, Rock.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it multiple, but like whenever you don't play, it's like hiring a coach to specifically monitor yards after catch. You don't need it. You know, you're not going to pay somebody to do that. It should be organic. And it should come from the top down. Like whenever it's a leadership, it's a disciplinarian, I guess, type of deal. You brought him in here for a specific reason. For what? To make sure that everybody's in line in the clubhouse,
kick
but not
some
win.
Ass.
You want somebody that can produce on the field.
Yes.
And then that stuff takes care of itself.
Yes.
And the manager would actually handle it if that were to get to that point.
Wouldn't you rather have the biggest douche in the entirety of the league that can hit 30 home runs?
Yes.
And it's one thing to have this guy on the roster, and I don't know him from Adam. I mean, he might be a good guy. I don't know. He slaps people in the face over fantasy football. I have no clue. He gets, Uber Eats orders outside of the stadium. I mean, there's a character in there. He shows fans in Anaheim how to wax the carrot. Like, there are things about Tommy Pham that I have found whimsical and funny. Threw a guy out and got a walk-off hit not that long ago. He could be on the roster, and you could get the leadership qualities, quote-unquote.
Full-time?
Full-time?
Mm.
He's on scholarship, Doran, in year 6 of the Ben Cherington, Derek Shelton tenure. Year 6, and you've got Tommy Pham playing every single day. You've got Enmanuel Valdez batting 4th an awful lot of the time. There's the tangible that's bad. The intangible seems to be bad. And I thought Andrew McCutchen was around here to be a leader, too. Like, Andrew McCutchen, he's not this rah-rah guy. I mean, I guess he is rah-rah. I'll give you the necklaces and stuff like that. More, I guess the point I'm trying to make is he might not get up in your faces, but lead by example. And I think if Andrew McCutchen says, guys, we're playing bad fundamental baseball, I think guys would powwow around him and take his word to heart.
Yes.
11-19, and the Cubs didn't strike out once yesterday.
It's not going to get any better.
No!
I mean, the schedule is brutal. You got the Phillies, Mets, and Braves in a row.
I mean, so the obvious question is just how bad does it have to get before Derek Shelton gets his walking papers? Again, not all on him. But at what point do they say, wow, we got to send our fans a message here that we're not just going to let this happen? What, you got to be 20-50? Like, give us something.